got peace like a river, blowing from the heart of the giver. But honestly, it really kind of goes in line with this. This has been something that beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit laid upon us. The three areas that, make sure you're speaking the same words. You know, your life is what you make it. Make sure you're speaking what you want to have. And what else was there as far as priorities, what comes out of your mouth, and then in this area of intimacy, where we becomes the top priority of our life is to be intimate with the Father, is to work on that relationship. That's what He made us for in the beginning, was the relationship to have with Him. And sometimes, and again, I love how the Holy Spirit does this with us, is that we'll cover it early in the year or something like that, or as the year turns, and we might hit it a couple weeks in a row or something like that. Then you move on to some other things. And when you move on to other things, sometimes you can almost forget about that aspect of it. You get into working on your faith or working on other areas. those things that God spoke at the beginning of the year, you can end up forgetting about. And so I like the fact that every now and that it seems like the past several years, somewhere around the midway point, sometimes towards the end, He kind of refreshes in me, and He'll start stirring it up again in me. That, have you lost that? Have you been focusing on that? And the area that He stirred up to me this week, towards the end of last week, was that area of the intimacy that we have between Him, that relationship we have with Him, that it's Him, it's just Him and us, that it's not about getting so mixed up with so many other things in our lives. And we all do. We all have the many opportunities. You could have nothing else going on in your life as far as work or anything like that and get bogged down in all the details of life. I gotta do this, I gotta wash, I gotta clean, I gotta, I enjoy. I told my wife several times that the best days for me are the days when I can look at my text message and I don't have any text messages from her in that day. And at first she was kind of like insulted, like, well, I don't text you anymore. I said, no, that's not it at all. Because the days that I don't have any text messages from you are the days that you're right next to me and I get to spend the whole day with you. Those are the days I enjoy more than anything. Yesterday, I don't think we text each other at all, if at all, because we were right next to each other. We got up in the morning, we drove up to Northern Kentucky, we sat next to each other, we dropped everywhere we went, we were together. and so I like that. I like that part of my day where I like just the spending the time with her. Hallelujah. I don't know why I said that. I just maybe needed to say that out loud, that I just like spending time with her. But a lot, but we can get busy. We can get so busy. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said is that sometimes she gets off, and her main day off is Saturday, and Saturday we'll have tendency to I'll think, okay, we ain't got nothing going on this week. This is day off, nothing going on, which we don't have a ton of those kind of Saturdays. But when we do, I get up in the morning and I might think I'll throw a couple loads of laundry in early so that I can do nothing the rest of the day. And then I'll have the load of laundries kind of push through and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be that, like, okay, I got nothing more. Going to watch some baseball, football, basketball, whatever happens to be on that day. And I'm going to do nothing. And then my wife wakes up and things change. Because I ain't got nothing to do, so we got something to do. We got all these things that have been on the list to do that we haven't done. Today's the day. Today. And I'm like, but it's our day off. It's our day off, right? We get to just lay around and do nothing. No, it's our day off. We got stuff we got to do. And that's exactly the way we can be. We can have so much on our list, even if we don't have anything else going on, that we're still busy. We get so busy and so caught up in things that even the time last night, just this week, just had several things going on, all that kind of stuff. Last night or yesterday, got up early, went up to Northern Kentucky, saw Ryan graduate. Yay! Again, this Saturday at 3:00, if you want to come and join us, we'll have some food and some fun, some laughter. Well, it's supposed to end at 5, so if you want to leave at 5, that's cool. If you want to leave early, it's cool. But everybody else, I know the kids are going to go outside and play volleyball, so we may end up stretching the time and goof off a little longer, but everybody's invited to come on out and to celebrate Ryan's achievement with us. We went up there, but we all day long we went through Lexington, spent a little time with family, came home, got home, Went out and got something to eat, brought it home, ate. I finally sat down at about 7:30, ate my sandwich, and then I was just kind of like, I had a bunch of other stuff I wanted to get done, and I just sitting there and I was like, you know what? If I close my eyes just for a moment, just take a short nap, because I don't take long naps. I just don't. I'm not very good at nap taking anymore. I think if I can just shut my eyes for a little bit, I'll get up and those few things that I wanted to do tonight, I'll get done. Well, 10:30, 10:45 rolls around, and I finally wake up, and I'm like, oh, it's time for bed, so I went to bed, and, but I'm so busy, so, I mean, even that time that you want to just, you don't have anything to do, you're so wore out from everything else you do, that the priority on your list becomes, I gotta rest, I gotta just chill, I gotta have some downtime, I gotta have some me time, I gotta have that time, where I just can stare at the back of my eyelids for a while. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but see, we keep our lives so busy, packed from end to end, all this kind of stuff going on, that we're missing the thing that is the most important thing in our lives. And I'm not talking about the most important thing in our lives weekly. I'm talking about the most important thing in our lives daily. Honestly, we could almost take it even moment by moment because, you know, the Word of God says pray without ceasing. Have that relationship, have that intimacy with Him at all times where you're always aware of His presence, always aware who He is. Psalm 27 verse 8 is the scripture that we've been starting this on. We started on last week, acting like we've been on this series for quite a while, but even what I'm going to share tonight, I'm going to feed off of this message, the article that you're going to read. I encourage you to read it. Read it just for what it's worth, and take it. When the Holy Spirit gave it to me, I sat down. He told me on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, I think it was Wednesday. He told me, I want you to do a little bulletin. I do a little newsletter. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, I can do that. And this, so I said, well, what do you want me to put in there? And I started like flipping through ideas, and because I knew that he wouldn't tell me to do that unless he gave me an article, gave me something to write about. And so I was just kind of thinking ideas, writing down ideas that came to my mind. The first idea I had was regarding praise and worship, and I thought, no. Then I went home, and I just kind of flipping through some stuff on my iPad. And I found something, I started listening to it. I ended up listening to a sermon while I was watching the Cubs game that night, just listening through the whole thing. And it just got my imagination. Matter of fact, I think there's several things of it that I'm going to bring out tonight. I sat down on Wednesday morning, and in a matter of probably 30 minutes, just wrote the article that you got there, because it just flowed out of me so easy and so tender. Just, it was just beautiful as it came out of me. And but it stems off of this. It's this area of intimacy. It's this area of praise and worship being more than just a song service at church. It's that intimacy that we have with Him. And in Psalm 27, verse 8, it says, When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I'll see. You want me to seek your face? I'm going to seek your face. You ask me? The Amplified Version reads it like this. You have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. Well, my heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, I will seek, inquire for, and require of necessity on the authority of your word. You said, I need to take your word, I need to take your presence, I need to take the intimacy with you, and literally treat it like I would treat my food. I mean, there's most of us in this room that whether it be, some of us are big breakfast eaters, some of us are big dinner eaters, but usually we keep track. We want to make sure. Matter of fact, they say if you want to have a healthy diet, that it's better to have several small little meals just throughout the day to where you're not stuffing yourself at any one time than a lot of, but no matter what you're at, if you're drinking a protein shake or if you're doing whatever you're doing, you're keeping track of it because you know your body needs food. One of the tricks that your body will tell you when it's under attack is that you don't want any food. And you're maybe you're nauseous, maybe nothing sounds good to you, maybe you just don't have a driving desire. And it's one of the things, it's one of the key things that'll take you out. Is that you're just like, I don't want to eat. I don't need to eat. I don't want to eat. And most of the time in our lives, that's not a bad thing if we miss a meal, right? It's okay. Most of our bodies, not all of our bodies, most of our bodies are built to where, hey, if I miss a meal, I'm probably going to be okay. I'm probably not going to waste away nothing. Hey man, don't be offended by that. You guys all got real serious. Well, maybe your body is that. I'm just saying what I'm saying. But most of us know that, hey, I need to get something to eat to make sure my body is fueled. When you don't eat, you start feeling a little dragged down, a little tired. That's what the scripture is saying. God says, you need to seek me. You need to go after me like you go after your three meals a day. You need to go after me like you go after your eight bottles of water a day. You need to go after me like you go after your coffee in the morning. You need to go after me like this. And if God says we need to go after, like the psalmist, I love that's the answer. If he said I need to go after him like that, that's exactly how I'm going to go after him. Because any other option is not an option. He tells us in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Bill Johnson, and this, I know this quote that I used last week, but I want to keep this pushing. Is that Bill Johnson says, can we afford not to be in the stillness of a deeply loving romance with Jesus, our Heavenly Father? Can we afford not to soak in the fresh oil of His precious Holy Spirit? I think not. Especially if we need healing at any level, at every level of our being, facing fierce spiritual or natural warfare, if you want to soar from glory to glory. Can you get by with not craving His presence day in and day out? Can you go without that? No. Not if you're wanting to move in the areas that God says you can move in. It becomes the predominant thing, beloved. Everything in your life, every promise that He gives, everything He said you can have, flows from intimacy with Him, from relationship with Him. Everything. Walking holy lives. Living in holy lives. I try. What have you tried? I tried walking holy. I tried not doing this. I tried not doing that. Have you tried relationship? I know the Bible talks about loving other people, and I've tried. What have you tried? I try to put up with their garbage. I try to put up with their foolishness. I tried. Have you tried just getting in your presence with love Himself? Have you just tried to get intimate with Him? Well, how would that work? You become what you behold. If you haven't beheld Him today, if you haven't shown up and looked face to face with your heavenly loving Father, then there's a good chance you're going to walk away today and fail at some of those things that you work so hard to try to accomplish. Because what you behold is what you become, what you walk in. And when you behold the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you walk as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you behold love, you walk in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited. Well, last week we went from there and we started kind of just going through, and this is kind of where we're going. Because I want you to see how much this area of intimacy, of just being, intimate relationship with Him, how much it controls every aspect of your life. If you want a successful Christian walk, beloved. Now again, I know people are like, well, that seems like a lot of work. How is it a lot of work? See, here's what it is. I never felt like spending time with Jessica when we were dating was work. I still don't. I mean, like, oh, it does now, apparently. No. I never felt like, and you guys would do the same thing. I'm sure when Todd and Harmony were dating, Todd didn't go like, huh, gotta go punch in the clock, put some time in with Harmony to get it over with. I don't want to do this. No, my guess is that they really enjoyed spending time together, that it was something they looked forward to doing. Guessing that the same way with Steve and Megan, same way with my, it just, most of us, I could go through every one of us, I'm not leaving you out, is that it wasn't a job that you were checking in and out of and going, and you know, gotta make the donuts, spend time with her. No, it was something you longed to do. Because it was a relationship. It was the love of your life. And if I can say it like this, and I'm going to say it like this, and I don't want you to feel condemnation. We need to think about this. If God does not have your imagination like that, then you have got to evaluate where He is in you. Is He simply fire insurance? Is He simply something to make sure that you don't end up in hell? And again, I don't want anybody in this place to think for a second that Pastor Thad's trying to bring condemnation on them at all. There is therefore no condemnation that walk in Christ Jesus who walk according to their spirit. And now there's not, I'm not dealing with condemnation. I want us to evaluate. Because there's times that we can feel like we're ending up short in the things of God and ending up short in the promises that God says. And we're missing the very substance, the very foundation of what we need in order to receive all of His promises. We're walking by faith, but we're doing stuff in faith. We're operating in the doing and not in the knowing. God wants us to know Him. He told the psalmist, He said, seek me as your vital need. And the psalmist said, man, if that's what He said, that's what I'm going to do. And that's a man who never knew defeat. David never knew what it was like to lose a battle. Because he recognized God as his friend. God recognized him as a man that is after my own heart. There was an intimacy. Now, and he knew it. He knew it. Why did he know it? He knew it because he knew covenant relationships. And so he knew the importance of that intimacy, that spending time with him, that love time with him. They wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will run, they will walk, they'll leap, they will shout, and they won't get tired. Amen. And I want to just throw that out there one more time. You know the scripture, but again, last week we defined that word wait, and it literally means the top definition of that word. They that wait upon the Lord is to be bound together. Which really presents an intimate relationship. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and move. Hallelujah. Man, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit in this place. Goodness gracious. Why do we do what we do? I was listening to this guy, and Bill Johnson, I stumbled upon. I don't know how much I meant to stumble on the sermon. I was kind of looking up some quotes on praise and worship. Seeing if it would stir something in me, and I saw one video of his, and I started listening to it, and he was sharing about a time in his life where he was his son was in the hospital, a young son, and it wasn't looking good. It looked pretty serious, And he told his wife, he said, let's try to get our answer. And by getting really deep in with God and really, let's praise, let's worship the Lord really intimately to try to get our answer. And so he got really in, just really working at breaking in, pressing in to try to get that answer. And he said the thought hit him. Which again, he said, I know it was the Holy Spirit telling me, saying, what you're doing right now is trying to manipulate God. Because you're trying to get something by doing something. And the light came on. And here, there in the middle of this, I guess it was the hospital room, he just began bawling like a baby. And said, I don't ever want my relationship with God to be a manipulation. I don't ever want it to be a manipulation. I don't want to praise him to do anything, to press his hand. Your kids ever come up to you and said, hi, Dad, I really love you. You look handsome today. You look wonderful today. What's the next words that come out of your mouth? All right, what do you want? You know they're just buttering you up. And man, that hit him so hard that all I'm doing this to try to manipulate him, to try to force his hand to give me what I need. And he said in the intimacy of that just spot, he said, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. He said, that's rotten. So that's horrible relationship. And in that place, he said, he shifted. And he said, Lord, I'm not asking you for anything. He said, I just want to love on you. And he said, he raised his hands in that room and just began loving on God. And not thinking about what he was wanting. He just was loving on God, saying, God, I just want you. I just want all of you. And he simply says, he said, the Holy Spirit moved in that room. And within just a short period of time after that, his son was healed. His body was restored. But he said, and you'll notice it I'm having a hard time not teaching on what I wrote in that book. And tonight's going to even be harder in that article. But there's a little quote I have at the end of the, it's just a little box like I do. And it said, worship is not a means to the end. It is the end. Because it's what we're made, it's what we were created for. In other words, intimacy is not a means to the end. Your time with Him, loving on Him, is not trying to get you something. It's not a method. It's what we're created to do, is to be with Him. And I'm telling you what, this has gripped me that it's got to be more. We got to be more than just praise Him when people say praise Him in the storm. I like praise Him in the storm, but see, we don't praise Him. We're not trying to manipulate Him to get out of the storm. We praise Him for who He is, for the rest. Why do we praise Him in the storm? Because we were praising before the storm. Because we praised Him when the storm was forecasted. Because we praise Him because that He's the love of our lives. He's everything to us. See, here's the thing. When intimacy becomes our focus, then all that God has is available for us. Go to Isaiah 64. Hallelujah. I didn't do a ton of what I'd call middle, you know, sometimes when I'm preparing stuff, I'll put a lot of sentences in there to kind of, you know, things that I'm being told at that point. But the only thing I've been really told in this whole series just is how much He desires us, the intimate relationship with us, that time alone, that time we're by ourselves with Him. But if we will do that, And it's that relationship part. It's hallelujah. It's not, oh, amen. Let's read this. Let's move on. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not seen, or have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And I like how that's worded in the Old Covenant, Isaiah 64, that as old as the world is, men have not heard nor perceived nor is seen, O God, beside you, what you have prepared for him that waiteth on you. And I'll give you a second or two to guess which word that word waiteth is. It's the same word that is used over in Isaiah where it says, they that wait upon the Lord. So in other words, this isn't just a matter of us going, twiddling our fingers. I was going to say like sometimes we do in church, you know, when's it going to be over? Okay, we know it usually finishes around noon. So I'm not talking about that kind of wait. This is intimately entwined. This is entwined together. This is bound together. I mean, that's again, that picture should give you an idea that when he says, they that waiteth upon him, is talking about something deeper than just a stranger waiting for someone to show up at their house to fix their water heater or going to the service station to have some and wait for someone to get done working on your car so that you can now drive it. It's different than that kind of wait. This is an intimate entwining of one of two beings that just depend on one another for their whole lives. And there are a lot of people who have never who have lived life and missed out what God has for them because they've missed out on this area of intimacy with Him. Wonderful things beyond comprehension are available to us if we'll learn to wait, to connect ourselves intimately with Him, to bind ourselves together with Him, to step into that relationship with Him. Wonderful, awesome, mighty things are available to us if we'll learn to do that. I think about it sometimes, and I think, how people can treat, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm thinking of people outside of our body of believers, how people treat going to church. You know, people are like, you guys go to church three times? We just go to church twice because that's all we really need. All you really need is twice. We just go to church one time because all you need is really one time in church. Depends on where you're going. Because if all you're going for is to say, hey, I went to church, to hear a nice little, sermonette, then you've accomplished that which is in your life. But if you want everything He has for you, again, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church? Do you go to church because I just feel like it's good for my family, or I feel like it's good for this, or again, it comes down to this. It's beloved. That's part of relationship. It comes down to the fact that our Heavenly Father, the love relation of our life, says, "Hey, I want you to come and dwell together with the rest of me." Oh, hold it a second. Yeah. Are we or are we not the body of Christ? I pray every day, Pastor Father. I pray every day, Pastor Thad. I'm good, man. I got a relationship like that with God. With His head. Where's your relationship with His body? You move on to something else, Pastor. That wasn't very exciting. I go to church. Well, do you go to the body? Are you a part of the body? What would happen if your pancreas took a day off, took a week off? All right, I'm gonna leave this alone. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm not picking on that. What I'm saying is that I've seen it out there. I see a lot of people treat church like it's just literally just someplace. We just go because it's more of a club. It's more of a meeting for them. But when you begin understanding the vitalness of your being here, and really, it's about the intimacy with Him. Amen. All right. So wonderful things beyond what we can comprehend are available to us if we'll learn to wait, be intimately bound with Him. We cannot do or have anything great without first learning to be alone with Him. Let's go. Now, Isaiah 64, we know what that said, and it says, hath prepared for him that waited for him. Go to 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul refers to this in Isaiah 64, 1 Corinthians 2. And he kind of says it a little bit different, but if we understand that it's based off of Isaiah 64, which Paul would have known by heart, then we begin seeing increased revelation here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now again, stop there for a second, because we know Isaiah, where it said for them that waiteth on him. So when we're talking about the love walk, we're not talking about just the details, all that kind of stuff of love. We're talking about the intimacy again. So him that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now I'm gonna pause there for a second, because this is really starting to understand. You're starting to see here relationship in verse 10. And if you're not seeing relationship, you just need to pause a second, because now I don't know about everybody, but when Jessica and I, let's just say this for a second, okay? I've been friends with Steve for over 10 years. That doesn't seem possible. I spent some time with him, a little bit of time with him. He's been here, all that kind of stuff. But if we sat down with Megan on one side and myself on the other, and people started asking us questions about Steve, or Steve started asking us questions, there would be a few that I would get. I would get his favorite basketball player, his favorite sport, favorite league. I mean, there's some things I would get on him. But I think most of us, if you are starting to put wagers on who would know more about him, you'd go the one that spends the most time with him, the one that drives in cars with him, the one that shares a house with him, the one that they've told secrets to each other with. Most of them, I'd bet on Megan. And I really want to win. I like to win things. I'd bet on Megan. Why? Just because of the relationship, their intimacy with each other. She knows more than he does. But see, I know when Jesse and I were dating, one of the things we enjoyed doing was I'd say, okay, what's your favorite seasoning? And of course, I didn't necessarily have to ask that. All you have to do is watch her eat a couple times and you realize her favorite seasoning is salt. That's right. She just got to have court low, so she just chugs. No, she doesn't chug any. Mine's pepper. Most of you guys would know that. I'd say, what's your favorite sport to watch on TV? What's your favorite this? And we just keep learning about each other. What we're doing is we are searching the deep things. And the more we spent time, I could tell you things today that I've never asked her about her. It just come out in the conversations or in what she. But why? Just because we keep searching the deep things of each other. And isn't that exactly what it says? Your spirit, the spirit searches the deep things. Isn't that cool? Verse 10 is a relationship verse. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, for His Spirit, through our spirit, is searching the deep things. So if our relationship with Him goes no deeper than a few flesh opportunities or soulish opportunities that we've had in church, where we've gotten excited and woo, you know, and things like that, if we go no deeper than that, then we're not going to have things revealed to us the way they need to be revealed to us, the way God wants to reveal them to us. He's revealing them to us in the intimacy of our spirit, man, when we block out everything in the flesh, we block out everything in our soul, we quit worrying about all the things going on. And it's just Him and you, you're loving on Him, it's you talking to Him, and He's revealing to you the deep things, the secret things. He's showing you things. See, that's why there's things that we do as Christians that don't make any sense to the world at all. You know, tithing doesn't make sense. Honestly, how we worship doesn't make sense to the world. Seriously, standing up in church, singing a song with your hands up, your eyes closed, and tears coming down your face. You been smoking anything, brother? Yeah, you know, okay, yeah. You're kind of weird, aren't you? Yeah, we're kind of weird. Dancing and jumping and shouting and whooping and hollering, that don't make sense to the world. It's because all they're doing is operating on a fleshly, soulish plane, and we're operating on a spirit plane regarding our decision making. And the intimacy of who He is, the intimacy of what's revealed to us in that time. It says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor is entered in the heart of man what God's prepared for him, except for those that are waiting and in love with Him, and their spirit man is intimately connected with the God of the universe. And by His Spirit, He's revealing things to your spirit. Yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. You can't understand the fullness of who God is. Listen to me. When you get into the intimacy with Almighty God, when you get into the one-on-one with Almighty God, it'll change the way you give. When you get into the intimacy with your Heavenly Father, when you get into the relationship, it'll change the way you worship. When you get into the intimacy, the one-on-one relationship with Him, where it's just you and Him, it'll change the way you treat others. It'll change everything about you. Because you're going to have things revealed to you that you didn't have revealed to you beforehand. When you get into that place, you're going to have things about your life revealed to you. Say, I just don't know what I'm going to do in my life. He'll reveal to you. He's going to show you things that you've not seen or heard yet at this point. Where confusion has been, He's going to show you those things if you will prioritize the intimacy and the relationship with Him above all things. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I love this. This may not be the perfect 3-point sermon, but I tell you what, if you grab the heart, if you grab the spirit of what's going on in this place, grow the heart of this message, it'll change you forever and ever. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Again, the picture there is not just come storming, here I am, hear me roar, or whatever. It's you can come in. My son, I don't know what he is doing. He's a ding-a-ling. You all know that, don't you? He came in one night. Jesse and I were sitting there watching something on TV, just chilling. And he come walking in. I'm in my recliner. I don't think I reclined yet. I was just sitting there. He comes in and plops himself right in my lap. Puts his legs up on my other side. Here's my 6'1" son, taller than I am. Just plops himself on my lap. Puts his legs up. And goes, hey, Daddy. He's being silly. I would be willing to put a few bucks on the fact that if Todd walked into my house he would not feel that comfortable doing that with me. We've known each other for a few years. I've seen this young man grow up from, it has to be second grade probably. So, I mean, we know each other. And he still was like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know, at the Super Bowl party, I didn't have anybody come and just flop down on my lap, you know. But for some reason, my son thinks he has a right to come in and plop his bony little tushy down on my legs, on my recliner, and say, "Love you, Daddy." I think, Allison, you've done that kind of thing too. You just come down, sit down on me. Like they feel like they have a right to do that. But you know why they have a right to do that? It's because of the relationship we have. We've got that. I'm not judging anything. We just got that relationship. We just have that. They have that access. They can come in, sit on my lap. They can talk to me about stuff. They don't have to sit on my lap to talk to me about stuff either. They can. But there's something about coming boldly before the throne, not being shy, not. Have you ever missed some time where you haven't really prayed about much lately? And then you sit down and you get ready to pray and you kind of feel kind of like garbage. You spend your first 20 minutes of your prayer time just going, "Lord, I know I haven't been here much. I know I haven't talked to you much, but here I am again. I know it seems like all I do is come to you when I need something, but here I am again." And you can feel dirty. You feel, because you haven't plopped down on Daddy's lap in a while. But it says that you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You can come boldly before that throne. You can come in any time, any day. He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to make you feel ashamed. If it's been a week, if it's been a month, if it's been a year since the last time you jumped up on Daddy's lap, there's never a time. I don't care if my kids have made me spit and mad. There's never a time I would say, "No, there's no room on Daddy's lap." There's always a spot on Daddy's lap, no matter how big they get. I remember the first year, we have an annual photo we do for Easter. Most of you know it on Facebook because we show it all the time. We're all, Allison and Ryan and I, are flexing our muscles. And we started when their muscles were down here about midsection. I was above them. And you know, these last couple of years, you can barely see me. I'm such a tiny guy anyway. You can barely see me because here they are. Allison's like 1 inch shorter than me. Ryan's 2 inches taller than me. They're leaning in front of me, flexing their muscles. And I'm like, "Well, you can't see my muscles, but I think they're there. I don't know." But they have open access to Daddy's lap anytime they want. Just come. They just want to come, sit on my lap, give me a hug, say they love me. They have open access. I don't care if it's been a year since they did it last. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. If you messed up, you can still come boldly before the throne of grace because your daddy's there. All he wants from you is a relationship. All he wants is you, the intimacy today. You messed up yesterday, that doesn't matter. He wants the intimacy with you today. You did something that you're not very proud of yesterday. It's okay. Come on, sit in Daddy's lap. Let him. Notice what it says here. You come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's that intimate love. That's that loving kindness. Not the thrash of his anger. And find grace in the time of need. And our understanding of grace is bigger than just that. Grace means Daddy will enable you to do what you wanted to do all along. If you just got to come boldly before the throne of grace, you got to come boldly to Him. You got to come boldly. You got to come before the throne of grace. You got to get in there. You got to come in there. You got to know Daddy is more than willing to to supply for you. But when you come boldly before the throne of grace, you're going to get His loving kindness, and He's going to enable you to do that which you couldn't do. You know what? My daughter, I think she's learned this. I hope she has. She doesn't have to come and manipulate me. There's nothing she needs. She doesn't have to come and say, I'm like, Daddy, I love you. Oh, you're such a good daddy, such a good daddy. Let me give you a smooch. You want me to wash your car? Because I don't think she likes washing my car. You mean to vacuum the inside? I don't think she likes vacuuming. Daddy, can I come borrow $20? I don't think our kids have ever asked to borrow $20 from me. Can I have $20? She don't have to come and manipulate me. I've told her this. I've told her this when she started school and she wasn't working at that time. I said, honey, if you need anything, this is what I've told you. If you need anything, you tell me, you talk to me, text me. I'll put money in your account. I don't want you to have to do without. I'm not saying I didn't tell her she needed to get the job, get working. You know, don't. If you need something, you ask, and I will enable you to get to do what you want. Dad, some friends and I wanted to go out to eat in a movie, and I didn't have. I'm kind of low on funds. Is there any way? Yeah, I'll enable you. I'll empower you to do what you wanted to do. She didn't have to come to me and say, "Daddy, I love you." I know she loves me. And so that stuff she does 100 times a day, or at least 2 times a day, I don't know. She does that every day. So I'm not questioning her love. And so when she comes boldly to Daddy and goes, matter of fact, if she came to me and tried to manipulate me, I think I'd be harder pressed to give her anything than if she just comes boldly before me and says, "Dad, can I get some money?" You'll obtain mercy, and He'll empower you to do what you couldn't do on your own. Isn't that awesome? But where does it stem from? Where does it start at? Coming boldly before the throne of grace. Just spending time in His presence. Hallelujah. We come before the throne of grace when we approach God in prayer, communion, and fellowship. And there's a reward. There's a reward. Go to Matthew 6. Oh, I got to wrap this stuff up. I thought I might be able to get a little further, but, you know. I really want, more than anything in this series, with us going through this, I want you to catch the heart of what I'm saying. If you ever feel like, well, Pastor, Dad used that example, and it really hurt my feelings that he hurt that example, because I think he's talking about me. I ain't talking about you. I just really want you to grab the heart of what I'm saying through this whole thing. Because I feel like it is a society, and again, as I said, we have moved away from the intimacy with God. We are getting so, and again, we live busy lives. I thought computers were supposed to make our lives easier. We're not as scattered, but we're still scattered. There's more stuff to do. There's more stuff you can find out to do. It used to be that you didn't know what was going on over in other cities very easily, unless you visited the other cities or someone called you or it was in the newspaper. But now you can find off. Yeah, listen, I could put some of those younger kids on this chore and to say, I want you to find me 5 things to do in Lexington tonight. And I don't think it would take them that long to come back and say, okay, there's this concert in there, there's this there, you can go to this there, you can go to this, you can go, there's a birthday party if you want to show up to it at Chuck E. Cheese. You know, they could find me 5 things to do just like that. Just looking at the computer. And we get all those priorities so high, and we're missing the love of our lives, intimacy with Him. Matthew 6, verse 6 says this, "But thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, shut the door, pray unto thy Father, which is in secret." And I want to stop there for a second, because the closet, again, this is not just talking about, I don't believe that all this is just dealing with formal prayer. Will our Father, which art in heaven, I'm in my closet. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then you get done and you've done your chores, you've went through your list and you leave. This is intimacy. This is get alone with Him. Get in that time with Him. Put Him first. Get away from the prioritize. And I'm serious on this, beloved. If the only time you can get away is to create the first thing in the morning, do it. Make it a priority. But it says, pray, when you pray, enter your closet, shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. If he doesn't see you in secret, but if he sees you in secret, will reward thee openly. If you will learn to spend time, intimacy with Him, you're going to start seeing things on the outside where everybody can see Him. Get better and better. Your testimony is going to get bigger and bigger because you have prioritized the intimacy with Him. He rewards us openly when we are intimate with Him. Beloved, God is waiting for us to make Him our priority, priority number one. Getting away with Him in the secret, the quiet. Produces outward results that everyone can see. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.